Tonight, as we've started our service, we have sung several songs, as we usually do. And tonight, the songs have been what you might call faith-based, or songs about faith. And that's because this evening we plan on speaking about faith by hearing. There's so much that is misunderstood by faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And many people know that passage, but do they know what it means? Do we really understand about our faith, where it comes from, how it works, and why doesn't it work in everyone? Well, let's look into that. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17 is a passage that we have given to us by the Holy Spirit, as all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But this particular Scripture given to the Apostle Paul to write to the brethren at Rome. He then asks a series of questions and answers those questions and provides the information so that all will know. It reads, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I never will forget one of the first times that I ever read that passage and slowed down long enough to think about what I was reading. And my eye kind of stuck on that with, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." Now, I think that I probably literally looked down at my feet and said, "How in the world could that be?" Now, very few of you have seen my feet, but I will tell you, they're not pretty. But that's not what this is talking about. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things." How wonderful it is that someone would bring about that which would cause someone to have faith. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, faith is a very misunderstood thing. There are many people in this world that claim to have faith. Try it. Go out tomorrow about your activities, your jobs, your whatever it is you do, and say, "Do you have faith?" Most people are going to say yes, and they equate faith with believing. Well, we're going to find out they're not exactly the same thing. A lot of people believe, and a lot of people believe improperly. But many people claim to have faith, yet unless they have true faith, based on the true source or the source of true faith, they cannot explain how they have that faith, nor from whence it comes. And so those who claim to have faith and know not its source also do not know how faith works. And I think it's important to know these things. We'll see in John chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He had some important questions to him. And Nicodemus had been taught in the law that the Messiah was coming, and he had been told that there was one who was teaching things that were different, some things that made him stand out, and so he came and he wanted to know. Well, the message that he got was not exactly what he expected to receive. But we see that much like faith, the wind is a thing which can't be seen. But its effects can both be seen and heard. You look out the window and you see leaves rustling on the tree. And somebody says, "What makes the tree's leaves rustle?" And you say, "Well, the wind." "Well, where's the wind? Where does it come from? Where does it go? How does it work?" These things are mysterious. It's one of the invisible part of the creation of God. We can see the effects of it. But we can't see wind itself. I can say the wind blew my hair, both of them. But that's neither here nor there. It's the effect that it had upon me which indicates to me that wind exists. Jesus asked Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth," or wherever it wants to, "and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And people have grasped onto that and said, oh yeah, being born of the Spirit, it's like the wind. You can't see it. Well, that's not to say that one cannot tell if he's born of the Spirit. I can prove whether or not a person has been born of the Spirit. And in that very same conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus said, if you're going to be part of the kingdom, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. And we'll see at the end of the sermon this evening how that takes place. But just as the source of the wind was a mystery to Nicodemus, we'll see in John chapter 3 and verse 10, the source of faith is a mystery to most people. Where does it come from? A lot of people might say, well, just like the wind, it comes from God. Well, you're only part right, but that means you're partly wrong. And so as we look into it, we'll understand that. Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? You are a person of authority in Israel, and you don't understand the things that I'm saying to you. That's because there are many mistaken ideas regarding the source of faith. I'm going to lay out for us this evening a few things about faith that you may not have thought of. Number one, faith cannot be inherited. Now, there's a lot of things that can be inherited. Eye color, skin color, perhaps a number of different facial irregularities or whatever the case may be. I know a lot of times people say, oh, he looks just like his daddy. That's an inherited thing. But faith cannot be inherited. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, we'll see a passage that if improperly read, improperly discussed and broken down, some might think that because one had faith and it was passed down, but that's not the way it happens. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, now keep that phrase in mind because there's a difference in types of faith. There's a difference in degrees of faith. This unfeigned faith that was in thee, speaking of Timothy, now notice, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Now, here you go. Now, if the grandmother, Lois, had it, and then the mother, Eunice, had it, and then persuaded that is in Timothy, that means it was passed from generation to generation to generation. No, that's not what it means at all. Timothy did not have faith simply because his mother and grandmother did. Well, if that's the case, once somebody had faith, and their offspring all had faith, the world would be full of people with faith. But that's not the way it works. Neither do we expect or can we expect to have faith or to be faithful simply because our parents are. I got a question for you. If, in fact, my father had been a murderer, does that make me a murderer? You'd say, no, that's ridiculous. Well, then why would you expect that because my father would have faith, which he did not, relative to the truth? That doesn't mean that I have faith. And it has to start somewhere. Where does it start? That's what we're going to look into. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tell us also that Timothy had faith, and it also shows how we can have and maintain faith. It has to start somewhere, but it didn't necessarily start with our parents. He tells Timothy, as the Spirit gave him direction to write, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And in case we find it too hard to understand the King James, I'm going to paraphrase it. When he says, but continue in the things which you have learned and the things you have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. In other words, Timothy had been taught. And because he had been taught, he had faith, and he was told to continue in those things. And then we see the source of that in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, you say, well, preacher, you've not proven your point there. It says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through faith. Where did the faith start? Where did it come from? Well, it's really easy to ascertain It will be already provided the answer. But in case you haven't gotten it, turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. You're going to find out that not only does faith not come as a result of inheritance, and neither does faith come as a result of miracle. A lot of times people say, you know, if such and such were to happen, I'd believe. Well, they would. Even in fact, if somebody was to come back from the dead, the people in the day of Jesus wouldn't believe, and they didn't. And they don't today. But Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 does tell us how it comes. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Faith also does not come by listening to people. I'm afraid that a lot of folks have their faith based upon whatever the preacher says. Well, they are words, but it is the word which institutes faith or brings about faith in the people. It's little wonder then why the gospel of Christ is referred to as the word of faith. Genuine faith comes only from hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. But I want to back up a little bit. Romans chapter 6 or 10, verses 6 through 11. We will see that it is the word of God that brings about faith. Faith by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. The word of God brings about faith, and the faith causes us to do what it is that the word has instructed for us to do. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Now listen. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach. What was it that the Apostle Paul preached? The word of God. Where did he receive it? From God, delivered by the Spirit to the Apostle Paul, delivered to the people. And because of that, the people were to have faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Those who hear the word of the gospel should have faith. And if they have faith, they're not going to be ashamed. They're willingly going to submit themselves to the gospel and to the commands of the gospel to become children of God. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, reading perhaps through verse 5, we will see that those Galatians who at one time had been obedient had stumbled and had fallen. Therefore, the question was put to them. As the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to them on that particular occasion in that particular group, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? And when Paul went about preaching, he preached nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Who is it that bewitched you? The preaching that had been done before them was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he asked the question, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? In fact, that question could be asked of anyone back in that time. There was a problem in the church. There were Judaizing teachers going about and telling people, Jew or Gentile. They were telling the Jews, you've got to come back to the old law. They were telling the Gentile, you can be a Christian, but you've got to also adhere to the old law. The Spirit had Paul say, That's not how you got faith. Did you receive faith from the law? I don't think so. Then how did you receive it? The hearing. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We've got to understand that God provided the word so that we might have faith. You know, the words of Jesus produced faith in many who heard him. People oftentimes would have heard of Jesus. And it's different to hear of someone or to hear someone. When they heard Jesus, many of them believed. At one particular place is John chapter 4, verses 41 through 42. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. What was he talking about? What was it that strengthened him? Strengthening him was the word of God. That's the same thing that will strengthen us. But in John chapter 8 and verse 30, to further prove the point that I made earlier, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Notice it did not say, as he did this miracle, people had faith. He said, as he spoke these words. And believe me, there is way too much evidence to go into at this particular point, but every word that Jesus spoke was backed up. And every word that he spoke was important. In John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, we see the people again saying, show us something special. Show us a sign. Show us a miracle. We want to see something. Well, what they wanted was sensationalism. Then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? In other words, what are you going to show us to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you say is true? Well, he'd already proven it. He'd already shown them time and time and time again of the fact that he was the Son of God, is the Son of God. And therefore, his response to them was what it should have been. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Here they were looking at granite and marble and stones and masonry and architecture. And they thought, well, how preposterous. We know that from what they said in verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? They couldn't separate the fleshly from the spiritual. And that was the problem a lot of times with the Jews. Verse 21 tells us, but he spake of the temple of his body. In verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, remember, after he was risen from the dead, even his own disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You know, sometimes it does take a situation for people to believe. But there are no such things as miracles today, so we're kind of in a bit of a quandary, aren't we? No, we're not, because God gave us his word. We know this because hearing the preaching of the disciples also produced faith in Jews and Gentiles everywhere. Oftentimes we think, because we see it so many times, about miracles that were involved during the sermons. And I think we fall into a false sense of thinking that every time a sermon was preached in the early church days that there was a miracle produced. Well, what about Acts chapter 8? Philip joined himself to the chariot. Now, he was told by the Spirit to join himself to the chariot. And he began at the same scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading at that point, and he preached into him Jesus. And from the beginning of his joining himself to that chariot until the time when the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, show me a miracle. There's not one. He preached unto him Jesus. But even the prayer of Jesus depicts that the word, the preaching of the disciples, was to produce faith in the Jews and Gentiles everywhere. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, we see, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. It was the word that the disciples preached that produced faith in the hearers. It was the words that the disciples preached that have now been recorded to us that we have as the word of God, the Bible, which produces faith. Further evidence of this, turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. We know that Peter, being a Jew, was chosen to go to the Gentiles. We know also, according to the customs of that day, that the Jews and the Gentiles did not interact, not even in business, unless it was absolutely necessary. After Peter's going to Cornelius, as he had been told to do. And after his preaching the gospel to Cornelius, as he had been instructed to do, and after Cornelius and his household obeyed the gospel, as they were told to do, by the word of God, delivered by the mouth of Peter, given to him by the Holy Spirit, there was a discussion about it. And as discussions go, sometimes there's a little disputing along with it. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, listen, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." God chose preaching as the means by which his gospel was to be spread. And that the gospel, when preached, produces faith in the hearts of the hearers. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we see that even some who were rulers of the synagogue believed. But we also see in this particular passage what their belief brought them to. It's one thing to say, "I believe." It's another thing to follow that belief, follow that faith. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Remember, it's not just enough to have faith. There's a lot of times people in the world today will teach that all you have to do is have faith. All you have to do is believe. I've actually had people approach me, not knowing who I am, get into a little bit of a religious discussion, and real quick, like, they want to get the sales pitch in. If you'll believe Jesus and ask him into your heart, if you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God and ask him into your heart, you can be saved. And then I start asking them questions about the Bible and several other things that the Bible teaches, and they realize that I perhaps understand what they're putting forth to me. It's the Word of God. You see, wherever the Word went, faith went with it. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll see, as the Spirit had the Apostle Paul writing to these Thessalonian brethren, he writes words for them so that it would be recorded for us so that we would understand how this works. He said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord," not only in Macedonia and Achaia, "but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So genuine faith comes by the word of God. Then the question must be asked, why doesn't hearing produce faith in everybody? Through the years, I've talked to people and come away from the conversation wondering, why is it they couldn't get it? It could be the fault is with me. But I'm not alone. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We'll see that Moses, when he came to lead Israel out of captivity, not all of the Israelites believed God's promise. Now, here was one sent from God after he made several excuses and says, you know, "Who am I that I should go? And I'm not very eloquent, and it's a long way, and it's hot and dusty, and I've got a job." Well, no, that's our excuses today. Either way, he made a lot of excuses. And finally, he went. And when he went, we'll see that not all of Israel believed. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and we'll see why they did not believe. "Let us therefore fear, lest be a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." Now here's the difference. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." They heard the word of God. They didn't want to believe it. The word of God was, this man is going to take you out of bondage. He's going to lead you to the land of promise. They didn't want to believe it. when Jesus came to lead them from sin, not all of the Israelites believed. The message of Jesus and the message of John was very much the same. It was directed specifically to Israel. And it was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That kingdom was soon coming. It was imminent. It was going to happen when Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, was risen from the dead, went back to his Father, and not many days hence in Jerusalem on AD 33, on Sunday morning, Pentecost Day, the disciples gathered together. They received power from on high as the Lord had told them to do and told them to be there to receive it. But they wouldn't even listen to Jesus when he was here. In Romans 10, verses 18 through 21, but I say, have they not heard? You know, the question oftentimes comes up about, what about people in far-reaching places that have never heard the gospel? What's going to happen to them at the judgment? Well, I'm not the judge. But we can say, well, what if they never heard the gospel? Now, wait a minute. In this particular passage, it says, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. The fact that the line of communication broke down somewhere is not God's fault, it's ours. But now let's look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saying, I will provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest in them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, and listen, all day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to obey. And the truth of the matter is today, people that don't want to hear, don't want to listen, and don't want to obey are those who do not have faith. The sad truth of the matter is that the word will not take root in every heart so long as the devil is working. And we oftentimes look at our lives and how busy they are and how many things we got to do and how hard we have to work. Listen, Satan works a whole lot harder than any of us. He's very diligent. He's very stealthy. He's very deceptive. But turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. We're going to look at one of the parables of Jesus. It's a very important parable, as were they all. But this particular one fits this sermon. Faith by hearing. And when much people were gathered together and were coming to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withereth away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Now, oftentimes Jesus spoke to the people in parables, and oftentimes he gave the description and the understanding of the parable to his disciples before it was given for them to know. Notice what he said beginning in verse 10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now picture in your mind, if you will, sowing seed. The seed being the word of God. Scattering that seed wherever it will go, wherever it will fall, wherever it might take root. Then he says, those by the wayside are those that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh the word away the word out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. Into a hardened heart, on a hardened heart, this word, this seed fell. And the devil, the fowls of the air, is the way it was described in the parable, took the word away. In other words, placed before you temptation. The devil's not going to take the word out of your heart unless you let him. But temptation is placed there, and you stumble and fall. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and time of temptation fall away. You ever met anybody, they hear the word of God, and they say, oh, this is what I've been looking for. and they respond to it, and they're baptized into Christ, and you think, wow, we have another zealous person working, striving to promote the word of the kingdom to all they come in contact with, and in just a very short while they've flitted off somewhere else, joined some religious organization somewhere else. That's these kind of people. There's no root. They which fell among thorns, or they, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Why, we not, need not even bring up an example of those. Then in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, I've heard this 15th verse of this particular passage used many times. Or I hear people talk about it, and they will say, even sometimes in their prayers, that it might fall on those of a good and honest heart. Well, it rolls off better that way, doesn't it? It's easier to say, at least for me. But what does the word say? In an honest and good heart, a heart cannot be good until it's first honest. If it is honest, it perhaps will receive that word, and then it will have faith. And then it can become good. And that's how it works. We have got to find people who are of an honest heart, who are willing to hear the Word of God, who will allow that Word of God to provide for them or produce in them faith. When that happens, then they are likely to obey the gospel. They will not obey the gospel unless they hear the gospel. They will not hear the gospel unless you and I take the gospel to them. And another very important thing about hearing, or faith by hearing, is that God's word is the standard by which we will be judged. There's oftentimes tests in this life, or exams. I used to hate them because I had to study. I didn't care about the tests themselves, but I knew if I didn't study, I wouldn't pass them. And here is a fact. We are all involved in a test right now. Some of us are failing. When I say us, I'm talking about humanity. I'm not talking about any particular individual. I don't have anybody in mind. But we're all in a test. The final exam is not going to happen yet. We are in an educational process in which we have placed before us the things of the world as well as the things of God, and we have the opportunity and the ability to make the choice. And we hear things. We hear things of the world. We hear things of God. And we have the choice. But God's word is that which will judge us. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, that will be the final exam. And there's no grading on the curve. I used to love that. Grading on a curve. Where was I on the curve? As long as it was above that line, I was happy. That means I didn't have to take that test again. But here's another thing about this life that we're living and this situation that we're having right now and the test that's coming for every one of us. There's no retake. There is no redo. There is no way to prepare other than in this life and now. If we wish to have faith that pleases God, we must seek it here. In this life. During this time. While we live here on this earth. John 12:48. Jesus himself said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." He might very well have said, if you don't have faith, you can't please God. Oh, wait a minute, he did, didn't he? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I believe it is, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And now the question is, do you have faith? Most people, at this point and at this juncture, readily agree, "Yes, preacher, I have faith." Well, now what's it going to do? If you really have faith, and it's faith coming from hearing the Word of God, then that faith will be an obedient faith. An obedient faith is one that causes one to do, according to the commands of the gospel, to become a child of God, to become joint heirs with Christ, to become fellow heirs with the saints. Won't you obey the gospel today? That depends on whether or not you have faith. If you have been obedient but have not remained faithful, then you have the need to return to God in repentance and prayer. As the gospel plan of salvation is extremely simple, but it seems to be one of the simple things that is very hard for people to do. It consists in simplicity to the point that some people have called it the five-finger exercise. And that's because the basic points, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, can be counted on the fingers of one hand. And it's a good way for children to remember it. In fact, it's a good way for preachers and teachers and other Christians to remember it also. But that's what the Bible teaches. Here, Romans 10:17, we read it and referenced it several times. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God. Do you have faith? Well, what are you going to do with it? Did that faith cause you to believe? Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Well, it doesn't mean all you got to do is believe. That's inherent in the fact that first you have to hear. We must also repent. Acts 17:30, the Bible teaches, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, that means from the moment that was written, or actually before the moment that was written, when the church started, but now, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having heard and believed and repented, a person will confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The very foundation of Christianity. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Those who confess him before men don't mean that they just get up and say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. James tells us the devils believe and tremble. But having heard, believed, repent, and confessed, then a person will willingly be baptized. We see even the Philippian jailer the same hour of the night. I've heard people say, you know, I want to be baptized, but I need to wait till it's convenient. Behold, now is the time. 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. It goes on to say, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not the water that saves us. It is that which takes place in the water. It's just like the wind. It is invisible. You cannot see it. However, if a person has faith, if they repent, if they confess before God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they are baptized, you will see the effects of it. And then having done so, becoming a child of God, the admonition is found throughout the Scriptures, but best stated in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, remain faithful until death. You know why? Because they keep hearing the Word of God. They keep building up their faith. He said to the church there, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If indeed you're here this evening, you've heard, you believe, you repented, you confessed, you have been baptized, but you've allowed sin to enter into your life, know that you're not in a good state. Matter of fact, you're in a terrible state. You're in a lost state. Then you need to do something about it. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 that if that is your case, you have to repent and pray. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Faith by hearing. Do you have faith? Are you willing to be obedient? If you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we encourage you to do so as together we stand and sing the selected song.